come to the last of that series and the last of the judgment that is called bowl judgment. The seventh bowl judgment. Now at the end of the bowl judgment, we see verse 17. The statement it is mentioned, it is done. It is finished. That's the meaning. You know, this word is very, very touching word, because we know that this is the word the Lord Jesus Christ uttered on the cross of Calvary. It is finished. It is done. Whatever needed for the salvation of mankind has been completed on the cross of Calvary. There's nothing more to do. Everything is finished. Then Jesus, after drinking that bitter cup, he said that it is finished. The judgment of God was poured upon him. And that is what we understand from there. Same way here also. For the restoration of the earth, what are the things needed? It is finished. Everything is finished. God has sent the last judgment by which he will remove all unwanted people from here. And following, we see that God's judgment is falling upon this earth. And we see the background of this one. If you look into that other passages, we can understand it is the final world war. There's a great war, and the cities of the nation, see verse 19, we see that. The great city was divided into three parts. And the cities of the nations fell. And great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of fierceness of his wrath. God is judging the Babylon. And the cities of this world will be under the judgment of God. And the God's wrath is falling upon this city of Babylon. And at the end we see there was an earthquake. Verse 20 says, every island fled away. And the mountains were not found. That means there is going to be a great tsunami. Island to disappear, there's a need of a tsunami that happens in the sea. So the islands will disappear. That means a great tsunami is going to come. And mountains were not found. And verse 21 again we see that the hail out of the heaven is falling upon mankind. The weight of the hail is mentioned there. It is a talent. It's a huge weight is mentioned. Normally, for hail, there's no weight mentioned. Different type, different size of the ice cubes falls. Some are very big, some are small. But here is the only place in the whole scripture where the weight of the talent, weight of the hail is mentioned. I personally believe, it's not sure, I personally believe, being this weight is mentioned, maybe as I told you, this is a background, is a war, final world war, it may be referring to the modern bombing. Because when a bombing is there, it's like a hail is falling from the heaven. And a huge weight is there. Maybe referring to that, I am not sure, we cannot be dogmatic. Anyhow, this is a possibility is there. So at the end of it, Lord Jesus Christ is coming to establish his kingdom. That is what the book of Revelation speaks. Now, chapter 17 and 18 we are going to consider today. This is what the final world war. As I told you, the Lord is coming and the seventh bowl judgment is falling. Now, today we are going to consider the judgment of Babylon. Now, here it says that the great Babylon came in remembrance before God. And detail of that judgment is described in chapter 17 and 18. It is expanding the thing. It's not just briefly mentioned there, then expanding. Now, the city of Babylon is a very important thing when we study the scripture. There are two cities in the Bible which is prominent. One is Jerusalem. Jerusalem is the city of God. And we see the Babylon, we can say that it is a city of Satan. There's nothing wrong in saying that. All the satanic activities originated in Babylon. And all these two cities are constantly mentioned from the book of Genesis till the book of Revelation. Babylon is always standing things against God. not in favor of God. Whereas Jerusalem is the city of God. And here we see that how God is sending his final judgment upon the city of Babylon. When we talk about Babylon, there are two chapters devoted here in detail. There are two aspects of Babylon that we see in the book of Genesis. In the book of Genesis, chapter 11, verse 4, if you look at that, you know, when there was a single language was there, they all united together and they moved towards the east. And there we see they saw a plain land, and that land is Shinar. Shinar in the Bible is the land of Babylon. So in the land of Shinar, they thought that they will make a tower and they will make a city. The two things are mentioned, a tower and a city. And you know, it is near the river Euphrates and Tigris, and all this is flowing in that area. So it's a very, very fertile land. And they gathered together, said that God, even if he sends a flood, we will not be, should not be affected. So it was a rebellion against God, in fact. You know that very well. So the two things mentioned is, one is a tower, another is a city. The tower is not an ordinary tower as we think. This tower in the Babylon, if you look into the history and archaeological investigations, you can find out that they had a tower, and that tower is mainly used for watching the moon. So moon was the god of the Babylonians. They worshipped moon and stars they were worshipping. To watch the moon and the stars, they needed a tower. So the tower is speaking about the religious aspect of the Babylon. All the unwanted things that we see in the religions of this world is originated in Babylon. So the tower speaks about the religious Babylon. What do you mean by religious Babylon? That means they are deviated from the true God and going after the false gods. A woman who is leaving her husband and going after others are called as harlotry or adultery. Same way, humanity has committed adultery by leaving the true God and going after the other gods. So we see that in this chapter 11, the Babylonian system is considered as an abomination of desolation. And we see about the Babylon is referred here, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. Why it is called harlot? That means they left the true God and they went after other gods. So that is why they are described as adultery or harlotry. And here we see that the second aspect of the city is chapter 18. The commercial aspect of the city. That means all the practices, commercial practices, even today, what we see in the world is originated from Babylon. They were very famous for their commerce. You know, God sent people of Israel into Babylon for their disobedience. Because they were worshipping the idols, they went after other gods. God said, if you are so interested for that, you go to the same place where full of idols are there. So they went to Babylon. And in 70 years in their living in Babylon, one thing has happened. They fed up with the idol worship. They say, it's enough. We don't want to go to idol. But what happened and the consequences of that is that they learned all the practices of commerce in Babylon. All wicked practices of commerce in the Babylon. And when they came out after 70 years, the Jewish people became expert in commerce. They know how to make money. In the world, even today, the Jewish people are one of the richest of the community. If a race you take it. You know, American billionaires, most of them are Jewish people. And the greatest of the poor, the diamond merchants in the world are Jewish people. The Jewish people learned all this commerce from Babylon. They knew how to make money. You know, Shakespeare, when he was writing his drama, The Merchant of Venice, you know that. In The Merchant of Venice, there was a character, his name is Shylock. Was he, the Shakespeare describing him as a Jew? He was a Jew. And what he was doing, even if you remove that, even if a person dies, no more, blah, I want my money. He was a greedy and a person who wants greediness because he knew that his competitor is Antony. So he want to the merchant, he should be die, he should be killed, and he want to expand his business. So we see that is how the Shakespeare is describing the Jewish man. So they were very keen in business, and they knew whatever way they want to make money. That is a commercial city. They learned it from all these practices from Babylon. So we have these two aspects here. One is religious Babylon in chapter 17 and commercial Babylon in chapter 18. Let us look into the names, the different names used in the Bible about Babylon. You know, the Shinar is the first name we read about that. And another name is Mesopotamia. The oldest of the civilization of the world is Mesopotamia, from where Abraham came out. So this place is the place of Abraham. So Abraham and his families, they were originally moon worshippers. And this land is called as the land of Nimrod. Because it is Nimrod who founded the Babylonian kingdom. He was the first king of Shinar or Babylon. And now we know that modern name is Iraq. What do you mean by Iraq? Deep. So depth is there. If you look into that, it is really a depth is there. So much of things are there in Iraq. And all that is things against God. So Babylon is the modern Iraq. This is a geographical region. If you look into that, this is a Iraq. The circle which we see here is the Iraq. Now, as I told you, the first king of Babylon is a Nimrod. Genesis chapter 10, verse 8 to 10, if you read, we read about Nimrod. Bible says that Nimrod was a hunter before God. When we read casually, we feel that he is very close to the Lord. No. He was a hunter before God. He was a mighty hunter. Actually, he was not hunting animals. Instead of that, he was hunting human souls. He wanted to hunt human souls. He was against God. He was fighting with God. That is what actually we see from the history. And we see his wife's name was Semiramis. Even now, in many of the countries, they worship the Semiramis. And she was the first high priestess of idolatry. She started all the idolater worships in this one. Her son's name is Thammasu. Okay, he died, then again they rose again, and all funny stories are there. In the Old Testament, the people, Jewish people, they were after the Thammasu. And they were preparing cake for the heaven, the queen of heaven. The Semiramis is called as the queen of heaven. And we see a child and the mother concept, we see that. That child mother concept has been developed from there. Later on, we know that Christianity has accepted that in the modified as a Mary and the infant Jesus concept. It's a sad to say, this is all originated from Babylon. This is what the story of the Babylon is speaking. So, Babylon is the land of Nimrod. Then we read about this Babylon, the meaning of Babylon, see, according to them, according to Babylonians, it is the gate of God. But according to the Jewish Hebrew language, it is means confusion. The human beings were confused and they were moved away from the true God. And there was a confusion of language. We know that all the languages originated in Babylon. That is why the name was given. She is the mother of harlots, as I told you. They left the true God and they went after the idolatry. That is why her name is called as the mother of harlot. Today's the modern papacy and Vatican can also be considered or a part of it. It's not that I am not saying the Pope is that end of thing. It is a part of the whole system. Papal system is also there. We, book of Revelation chapter 3, we read about a lady there. Her name was Jezebel. Lord said, I have given her a lot of chances and opportunity to repent. And said that if she is not repenting, I will do one thing. I will pass her through the great tribulation. So if any church is passing through the great tribulation, and that church is nominal church. Nominal church will pass. The true church will not pass through the tribulation. Lord said that a church which is not repenting, I will allow her to pass through the great tribulation. So unrepentant church, nominal church, will pass through the tribulation. And this is that system we see that. The color we see, the scarlet and purple, and drunk with the blood, you know, the Roman Catholicism has killed the Christians, the true believers, hundreds and hundreds of believers were killed by the Roman Catholicism. You know, early Bible, when they were translating, they were killed by the Pope. On the stake, on the wood, they were burned alive because they translated the Bible. Can you imagine? So much of persecution they have done. About this lady, this mentioned that she drank the blood of the saints. Again, seven heads and seven mountains are mentioned. And it is comparable to the seven mountains on which the Roman city of Rome was built. You know, city of Rome is built upon the seven mountains. So we have a settings that she is covering the whole nation. Look at the verse 15 of a book of Revelation chapter 17. You can understand what it is. And he said unto me, the waters which thou sawest, where the harlot sitteth, are peoples and multitudes and nations and the tongue. And you know, the Roman Catholicism is the one system or the religious system that controls the whole world. And immense wealth is there. I don't think even any country in the world has such a wealth than the Vatican. Vatican is the richest, even the smallest of the country, but the richest of the country. You look at Borivali, why to go again? Everywhere. Who holds the maximum land here in Borivali? Everywhere you can see their establishment, isn't it? Likewise, throughout the world, wherever I go, I see their lands only. If they can occupy this much land in India, how much they are occupying in other countries? An immense of wealth is there, immense of wealth. As I told you, the smallest country in the world is Vatican. And the richest country in the world is Vatican. And they cover the whole world. And I'm not saying only all it is related to Vatican. It is an ecumenical system. That is, all the religions should be joined together. So this lady who is referred in this particular chapter is referring to Babylonian system. Babylon, the mother of harlots. See, all this originated, witchcraft, priestly, crafty things, purgatory, the concept of purgatory, temple prostitution, etc. And all these are originated from the Rome, we know that, from the Babylon. And we can say that at the end, there will all these religions will be united together. As an organization, we can refer it as a URO, UNO and URO. United Religious Organization will come. You know, in the world, everybody now realize that. Not only the political power is so strong, there is a power, religious power. Religion is influencing every political country, every political aspect, every country. You take any election in the world, it is always influenced by the religion. We know in India, this is true in America, it is true in everywhere. Either Protestants or Catholics, all these things religion is influencing. So we see that religion is going to play a major role, and these all religions will be united together. We read about this lady here. Look at that. She is called as the mother of harlots. Why mother? That means she is having daughters, isn't it? If she is not having daughters, she cannot be called as mother. That means she is having daughters of the same nature. And all this religion, that's why I told you it is a united religious organization. She is the mother of all the harlots, and filthiness of her fornication is mentioned here. And she is the abominations of the earth, all the earth. What will happen to her? There's a question. God's judgment will come upon her. As we know that Bible, wherever the Satan is there, every time there is a parallel to the God's kingdom, he establishes kingdom. We have seen in the book of Revelation, chapter 11, 12 and 13, three persons are devil, antichrist, and false prophet. Who are they? They are representing, or equally they are saying, that Trinity. We call it a satanic Trinity. God the Father, Lord Jesus Christ, and Holy Spirit. Same way, the Satan is also having three people, like a Trinity. Same way we saw Jerusalem is the city of God. Whose city is the city of Satan? Babylon. Babylon is the city of God, city of Satan. So where, when God is having one, the Satan is also having one. Same way, Lord Jesus Christ, he is the bridegroom. Who, what is the bride of Lord Jesus Christ? Church is the bride. Same way, Satan is having a bride. That is this one. This is the Satan's bride. That is a false religion. All the religions of the world. The nominal Christianity, including the nominal Christianity, is the bride of Satan. Now look at that. Who is controlling the beast? Beast is the Antichrist, seven-headed beast. Who is controlling the beast? Whether the beast is controlling the lady or lady is controlling the beast? Lady is controlling the beast, isn't it? She is under control. She is controlling everything. Wife is controlling the husband. It's like that. She is the bride, and the Antichrist is the bridegroom. They are the false religion. And this is a good time. In the beginning of the rule of Antichrist, this is the relationship between the religion and the politics. It's a union of religion and politics. And this union and the happiness, this very seems to be very happy, isn't it? They are both are very happy. This happiness and joy will continue for 3.5 years. I feel that it is like a honeymoon, you know, the honeymoon days will be there. After that, 3.5 years, this woman will be killed. And this beast will hate her. We read that. And she'll be destroyed. Look at that. Verse chapter 17, look at that. Verse 16 onwards. Chapter 17, verse 16 onwards. And the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, this shall hate the harlot, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh, and burn her with fire. For God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will, and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast, until the words of God shall be fulfilled. And the women whom thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. She is reigning over the kings of the earth. Very powerful. But we see that a time will come, the beast will hate her and destroy her and burn her flesh. What does it mean by that? That means he will ban all the religions. He will say there is no more religion. No religion is needed. The reason for that is that, you know, the economic policy the Antichrist will introduce. He will make a lot of new economic ideas and policies he will make all over the world. He will allow the people to buy the things, only those who are number 666. And all this policy will fail in the middle of the tribulation. Once this economic policy will fail, there is no way of getting out of this mess. He will say that it's better to confiscate all the properties of the religion. All the religions are really speaking, if you look into the wealth of the country, of any country, the religious establishment have the maximum wealth. Probably some of the wealth is more than the country's wealth. So if you look at the wealth, as I told you, the Vatican, for example, they are the richest one. So what the government will think, that it is better to abandon all the religion and confiscate all their property and include into the government, and we can run the government. So they will decide that we will ban all the religion. And the Antichrist will say one more thing. If anybody wants to worship God, you can worship me. I am God. And he will establish his image in the temple of God. He will erect his image in the temple of God. We read from the other passages that this will happen at the middle of the tribulation. So you see, chapter 17 is the religious Babylon, and religion will be banned in the middle of the tribulation. So the judgment upon this woman is coming upon her at the middle of the tribulation after 3.5 years. I hope it is very clear to you. So this is the background of this particular judgment upon Babylon, and especially the religious Babylon. Now, chapter 18 is another thing. It speaks about the commercial Babylon. As I told you, the Babylon has a two area. One is religious Babylon, other one is commercial Babylon. And if you look into that, it is going to be the commercial Babylon. And lot of business is mentioned there, and a lot of transactions are mentioned, and so many items of the commercial activity is mentioned. Now the question arising in this context is that whether the present Babylon or Iraq is going to be built again to fulfill this one for this prophecy. The first thing is that the Babylon, the present Iraq, has to be built again, and that should be the commercial center of the world. I personally believe, today if you look at the Iraq, you may not be able to see that. For the last 10 years, there's uncertainty is there. Lot of problems are going on in Iraq. Still, Iraq is under the control of the Western countries, you know, America and all are holding the country. But as per the biblical prophecy, the Iraq has to be rebuilt again as one of the biggest commercial cities in the world. All throughout the century, those who believe the Bible, they believed that the Babylon is going to be rebuilt again. Why? The question is that one. Number one reason, in the book of Isaiah, there are a lot of references are there about Babylon, and the judgment of Babylon is mentioned there. Whatever mentioned in the Babylon, the judgment of Babylon there, is not historically fulfilled. Some of the prophecies are not fulfilled properly. So they believe that to fulfill that prophecy, again the Babylon has to be built again, and then it has to be destroyed. For example, it is mentioned that Babylon will be destroyed, the judgment will come upon in such a way that it will not be rebuilt again. But today if you look at the Babylon, it is rebuilt again. That means the Babylon is small amount. When the Saddam Hussein came, he was trying to rebuild the Babylon. So as per the prophecy, it should not be rebuilt, but it is rebuilt again. And none of your things will be used for rebuilding is also mentioned. But you know, many of the buildings and other things in the olden days, even after the destruction, we see these used by these people. Old city was used, or the material of the old city also was used. That suggests that the prophecy of the Babylon will be fulfilled only in the rebuilt Babylon. This is one reason. Second thing, if you look at the book of Zechariah, turn to the book of Zechariah, there is a very strong evidence suggesting that Babylon will be built again. In the book of Zechariah chapter 5, if you read from verse 5 onwards up to verse 11, we see that a commercial city is going to be built in Shinar. There we see a vision that God has given to Zechariah. And the vision of ephah. Look at verse 5 onwards we will see. Then the angel who talked with me went forth and said unto me, lift up now thine eyes and see what is this that goeth forth. Then we see, and I said, what is it? And he said, this is an ephah that goeth forth. He said, moreover, this is their resemblance through all the earth. Verse 7, and behold, there was lifted up a talent of lead, and this is a woman that sitteth in the midst of the ephah. And he said, this is wickedness. And he cast it into the midst of the ephah, and he cast the weight of the lead upon the mouth of it. Then lifted I up mine eyes and looked, behold, there came out two women, and the wind was in their wings, for they had wings like the wings of a stork, and they lifted up the ephah between the earth and the heaven. Then said I to the angel who talked with me, where do this bear the ephah? Verse 11, you please note down. He said unto me, to build for it an house in the land of Shinar, and it shall be established and set there upon its own base. You know, the book of Zechariah was written after the literally destruction of the Babylon. That is a very important point. That the God's judgment upon Babylon has already come. Zechariah saw that. It is written after that. Now after writing, he says that it is going to be rebuilt again. What do we mean by ephah? Ephah is a measurement, is a vessel which is used to measure the commercial activities. So ephah is referring to commerce. And we see that again this ephah is going to be established in Shinar. And it is going to be rebuilt again. So, I personally believe this prophecy has to take place, and that is why still the uncertainty is there in Iraq. When it is going to take place, I am not sure. But it has to take place before the coming of the Lord. And Babylon or the Iraq is going to be the capital of the commercial capital of the world. It is a link, if you look in the geography, it is a linking between the West and the East. And you know that why America and Britain and all, they were very keen about it. Because that is the second largest petroleum country in the world. The production of the petroleum is so much. So they want this one, the commerce of it. So they want to convert it into a commercial city. And it will flourish. And when it is flourishing at that time, the judgment will come upon it at the end of the tribulation or just before the Lord's coming. And that is the judgment we have read in the book of Revelation chapter 16. So, if we carefully observe the history and the prophecy, and together with this Revelation chapter 18, we understand that the city of Babylon is going to be rebuilt again. Very definite. Some of not agreeing with that. But this is my view on the subject, I believe. But we are not looking in the present world condition and prophecy was interpreted. We have to look into the scripture and we have to interpret the script prophecy. This is what understanding. Now look at the items which is used by these people. Verse 12 and 13, you look at that. So many business items are mentioned. Merchandise of gold, silver, precious stones, pearls, fine linen, purple, silk, scarlet, like that it is mentioned. And some of the items, if you look into that, for example, thyme wood. I think it is a sandalwood. Then we see the kinds of vessels of ivory. That is also very interesting. Verse 13, you look at that. Cinnamon and incense and the ointments. These items like that, cinnamon, ivory, thyme wood, etc., indicates that these are items primarily coming from India. You know, ivory is the product of elephant. Naturally, the elephant are only in the world we have in India, Indian elephant and African elephants. So that means that India will be involved in cinnamon, Of course, we have Kerala, where it is very famous for cinnamon, isn't it? All over the world. So we see that the cinnamon and all these things, spices, probably transported or business was carried out in India. So India is going to involve in this business with the Iraq. There are so many commercial activities and the agreements with the Iraqi companies are already established. Some business is already started. So it may have to flourish further. And the last items was impressed me very much. What are the items mentioned? Horses and chariots and slaves and souls of men. Actually, the real translation is that the body parts of human, that is the meaning. Souls, it's not just like that. Human body parts and the human resource, slaves and human resource and human body parts are going to be one of the most important business items of Iraq. Today, you know, all the studies, even if you ask anyone, everybody says that I am interested in human resource. I am a human resource. In my days, when we study, we never heard the word human resource. I wonder who gave this name. Ambedkar people say that Ambedkar was the first one to identify the human resource. I was there, so they identified that. I am not sure who gave the name. But it's a very funny name. I tell you, it's not at all appealing to me. Human beings are not resource. It is not a natural. They're saying that we are also natural resources, coal and gold and silver and all. Are we like that? We are the one who are supposed to enjoy the resources. We are not resource. Now the concept of this resource is spoiling the corporate bodies. What they do? They exploit the young blood, making them to work 16 to 17, 18 hours. They give a good salary, no doubt. They say, we give whatever you want, but we want you, isn't it? The young age, as they get older, after 50, they say that you can go home. Because the resource is not there. So the modern concept of human resource are really damaging. It's like another form, modern form of slavery. No human values are considered. As long as you are strong and healthy and wealthy, we want you. Afterwards you will be thrown out. And somebody was telling sometimes back, he was said that, now I married with my company. His wife is there. Because 24 hours he is on the call. He has to attend. They give everything, but your value they consider as a resource. That's a sad thing. No, we are not resource. Let me tell you very clearly. Human resource is a wrong concept, in fact, biblically. We are the one who are supposed to enjoy the resources of the world. God created everything and made man there and said that you enjoy it, eat it. God never considered Adam and Eve is also a resource. No, they were not resources. Here we see the human resource is mentioned. Secondly, the human body parts are going to be marketable product. We never imagined that is going to happen. Here it is written. Today, the experiments are so much, millions and millions of dollars are spending in the medical field to find out organ transplantation. Experiments are going on. They want the organs. Especially now the experiments are going on the pig. They say the pig's gene and the human genes are very related to each other. And they are taking some experiment and transgenic animals are used and they are going to do a lot of experiment to transplant human body. They can get the organs. Of course, human organs also they are trying, and if it is not getting, they are trying with the transgenic animals. It is called transgenic animals. Whatever may be, the experiments are going on. So tomorrow you can get a shop. All the organs, whatever organs you want, it is available here. Heart problem, come to here. We have a heart. You have to pay the price, that's all. Kidney problem, come here, we will give the kidney. All this shop is going to be there. Already that is there. We know that. In hidingly, we know that how much money they take for kidney and all this transplantation. But once you study the I have did a lot of studies on the transplantation. I know that transplantation is not that easy as people think. It's a highly complicated. God has created every individual in a very unique manner. No one in the world is like me in the world. You know, you take anywhere. Nobody is like me. I cannot receive any organ from anyone, even from my own mother and the father. I cannot receive because my body will reject. That is a fact. And to not to reject, so many injections they give and make it to stand there. And it is all useless, in fact. So, to me, the organ transplantation is not at all an advisable thing. Because God has intended that we have a unique body and the unique organ. Look at that. Psalm 139, look at that. It's not that what the God says about the organ transplantation and the, what the organ is. Psalm 139, we read about how God has marvelously created you and me. There we see that verse 15 says that, 14 and 15, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. O God, you have made me wonderfully and fearfully. Then verse 15 says, my substance was not hidden from thee when I was made in secret and intricately wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Verse 16 you note down. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unformed. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. See, when I was unformed, when I was an embryo, when I was an egg, which was no form at all, even at that time, my every movement, every organ, when it was developing, what you did it? You have written down in your book. Every member is written down in your book. I have no right to change that. Let me tell you very clearly, this is my personal opinion. God has written down everything, every organ. That is why body cannot accept it. So here we see that in thy book all my members were written. So, but in the end time, we see that the transplantation, the organ transplantation process will increase. That is what the Bible describes. These were all recent development, but so many years before it has been described. Now, this commercial Babylon, what will happen? That is the question now. At the end of the tribulation period, after 3.5 years and of the great tribulation, or at the end of the 7 year, when the final world war will take place, Babylon is a center, the commercial center, and the destruction will come upon Babylon. God will destroy the city of Babylon. Very clearly we see in the scripture. How the Babylon is going to be destroyed? That's the question. I personally believe Babylon is going to be destroyed by an atomic explosion. Atom bomb will be, you know, in the history, so far in the history, only two places where atom bomb was used, that is in Japan, Hiroshima and Nagasaki. But I think it is the coming days. Why this, all these weapons in new, these nuclear weapons that are stored by the nations? It is for the final world war. And at the end of that, especially the city of Babylon is going to be destroyed by an atomic explosion. And look at the some of the verses which is used here, words which is used here. And it very clearly suggests that that is going to be destroyed by atomic explosion. Atomic explosion is a sudden one. And once an atomic explosion takes place, no human being will dare to go to that place and help them. Why? Because of high radiation. You know, you cannot go there. I think this was the first atom bomb which was used in Hiroshima and Nagasaki. And if the explosion of the atom bomb is something like that. And what happened in Hiroshima after the bombing? You can look at that. What happened? Completely destroyed. Devastated by the atomic explosion. This is what is happened there. So, I believe a similar scenario is going to happen in Babylon in the coming days. It is not my belief, I firmly confirm with the scripture. Now look at the verse 10 in chapter 17, the 7th chapter 18. Standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, "Alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is the judgment come." Why they are standing afar off? Normally, any calamity occurs in any part of the world, immediately all the nations will rush to that. But here we say that they are standing afar off. They are afraid of it because they are afraid of the torment. You know, recently, some year, 1 or 2 years before, the Japan, there was an explosion occurred, fire occurred in an atomic reactor. What happened? Even the water people could not drink because they are afraid of radiation. At that time, everybody, even if you get a visa, free visa, nobody was interested to go to Japan. And some of the food items from the Japan, all over the world, they banned. No item should be exported because all have contaminated with the radiation. So once the radiation is there, nobody will dare to go to that place. That is why it is said that that is going to, and it is destroyed by 1 hour, within 1 hour. Look at verse 17 again, the same is repeated. In 1 hour, so great riches are come to nothing. It's very clear. And every shipmaster and all the company in ships and sailors, as many as trade by sea, stood afar off. Nobody was there to come nearby. Look at verse 19. They cast dust on their heads and cried weeping and wailing, saying, "Alas, alas, that great city in which were made rich all that had ships in the sea by reason of her coastlines, for in 1 hour is she made desolate." So in 1 hour the city will be destroyed. And all this description indicating that it is going to be destroyed by an atomic explosion. Now how can you say very clearly, one more verse I will show you, very sure we can say that Babylon is going to be the another city that is going to be destroyed by atomic explosion. Come to the book of Zechariah, chapter 14. Book of Zechariah, chapter 14. Verse 12. Zechariah, chapter 14, verse 12. Here also we see the destruction and the war is mentioned in chapter 14. All nations will be gathered against the Jerusalem and the final war will be taking place and there will be an earthquake. Everything is mentioned here in this chapter. And all the nations will fight against Jerusalem. And that is the day of a great battle, it is mentioned. In the verse 12 we read like this. "And this shall be the plague with which the Lord will smite all the peoples that have fought against Jerusalem. Their flesh shall consume away while they stand upon their feet, and their eyes shall consume away in their holes, and their tongue shall consume away in their mouth." What is that disease? This is nothing but the effect of atomic explosion. If you look at a documentary or any studies on atomic explosion, this is what is there. As you stand, if a bomb is exploded, you will melt like ice cream. Your eyes will be melting inside. Your tongue will melt inside. It is because of the high radiation and the temperature is so high. So no living thing can stand. It will fall. Here we see that. When I was teaching these subjects on the atomic explosion, then I noticed this verse. I do believe this is clearly speaks about atomic explosion. And you know, Hiroshima and Nagasaki was a small bomb. When that was exploded, the core temperature was 1 lakh degrees centigrade. Can you imagine? And the whole nearby area, it was completely destroyed, the cities. If that can destroy, a small bomb can destroy this much, the modern warfare, what it is? No idea. A scientist who was working in the atomic energy, BARC of a, he was one of the brother who was involved in the first preparation for the first atom bomb of India. Matthew Varghese, I hope you in Tarapur, most of you know him. I personally had a talk with him. He said, it is not just an atomic bomb. According to him, it is a nuclear bomb. Neutron bomb. Neutron bomb normally destroys the human beings like this. So he says it's a neutron bomb that can penetrate and come like that. Now, why I say like this is Babylon? The reason I will tell you. All the countries that fought against Jerusalem, I will punish with that. That's what the Lord said. Which was the first country in the world that fought against Jerusalem? Can you tell me? In the history, which was the first nation that destroyed Jerusalem, that destroyed or fought with the Jerusalem? That is Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar was the first king, first nation that fought against Jerusalem. Here is very clearly mentioned, Lord will smite all the people that fought against Jerusalem. So if you compare this verse and with the book of Revelation chapter 18, we are very clear that Babylon is the city that God is going to be destroyed by an atomic explosion. What a terrific thing it is, isn't it? And when the Babylon is destroyed, if you come back to book of Revelation, we see the heaven is rejoicing. And there is a hallelujah song is going on in heaven. And the angels are rejoicing. Look at verse 20 of chapter 18. We read that. Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. And a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea, saying, thus with the violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down and shall be found no more at all. Finally, the city of Babylon will be thrown and that will never be rebuilt again. And that prophecy is going to fulfill absolutely. And in heaven we see again, in chapter 19 we see that. And after these things I heard a great voice, verse 1 of 19. Many people in heaven saying, hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgment. For he hath judged the great harlot who did corrupt the earth with her fornication, hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, hallelujah, and her smoke rose up forever and ever. So we see that in heaven there is a hallelujah song is going on. Rejoicing the heaven, because God has sent his judgment upon the wicked Babylon. So book of Revelation chapter 17 and 18 speaks about the judgment that is going to come upon the city of Babylon. First one, the judgment upon the religious Babylon. You note down the timing, that will take place in the middle of the tribulation period. And the judgment upon the commercial Babylon, that will take place at the end of the great tribulation or just before the Lord's coming. And Lord will judge those who are against the God's people. We see that we are safe by all this time because we see that we are going to be in heaven at this time and we are going to come with the Lord and that glorious appearance we see in chapter 19. We are going to come in glory. We will be Lord Jesus Christ. He is coming on a white horse. And the crowns are kept upon his head. As a victorious king and king he is coming. There we read about him. It is written, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is going to come as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. To purify the earth. To establish his kingdom. And to rule upon this earth. So what a joy it is for a believer to think about it. This is not just a story. It is not just a mythology. It is a fact. It is the truth. That what Bible said is happening. And it will happen. So let us thank God for these great revelations he has given to us and praise God for his wonderful word. May God bless this verse to our hearts.